Beside him, Buck Flanders said, "I think it's ending." Mr. D barked and made as if to start forward. Sandy grabbed him by the collar and held him back. Maybe the dog just wanted to go to Kurt and Tony, but maybe it was the thing in the shed he wanted to go to. Maybe it was calling him again. Sandy didn't care which. He liked Mr. Dillon right where he was. Tony and Kurt went around to the walk-in door. There they engaged in another warm discussion. At last, Tony nodded, reluctantly, Sandy thought, and handed over the camera. Kurt opened the door, and as he did, the thing flashed out again, burying him in a glare of brilliant light. Sandy fully expected him to be gone when it died out, disintegrated or perhaps teleported to a galaxy far, far away where he'd spend the rest of his life lubing X-wing fighters or maybe polishing Darth Vader's shiny black ass. He had just time to register Kurt still standing there, one hand upraised to shield his goggled eyes. To his right and slightly behind him, Tony Shaindings was caught in the act of turning away from the glare, hands upraised to shield his face. Sunglasses were simply no protection. Sandy was wearing his own and knew that. When he could see again, Kurt had gone into the shed. At that moment, all of Sandy's attention switched to Mr. Dillon, who was lunging forward in spite of the hold Sandy had on his collar. The dog's former calm was gone. He was growling and whining, ears flat against his skull, muzzle wrinkled back to show the white wink of teeth. "Help me! Help me out here!" Sandy shouted. Buck Flanders and Phil Candleton also grabbed Mr. D's collar, but at first it made no difference. The dog went motoring on, coughing and dripping slobber on the pavement, eyes fixed on the side door. He was ordinarily the sweetest mutt in creation, but right then, Sandy wished for a leash and a muzzle. If D turned to bite, one of them was apt to wind up a finger or two shy. "Shut the door," Sandy bawled at the sergeant. "If you don't want D in there with him, shut the damn door." Tony looked startled, then saw what was wrong and closed the door. Almost at once, Mr. Dillon relaxed. The growling stopped, then the whining. He gave out a couple of puzzled barks as if he couldn't remember exactly what had been bugging him. Sandy wondered if it was the hum, which was appreciably louder with the door open, or some smell. He thought the latter, but there was no way of telling for sure. The Buick wasn't about what you knew, but what you didn't. Tony saw a couple of men moving forward and told them to stay back. Hearing his normal speaking voice so clearly was calming, but it still seemed wrong. Sandy couldn't help feeling that there should have been whoops and screams in the background, movie soundtrack explosions, perhaps rumbles from the outraged earth itself. Tony turned back to the windows running along the roll-up door and peered in.
"What's he doing, Sarge?" Matt Babicki asked. "He all right?"
"He's fine," Tony said. "Walking around the car, taking pictures. What are you doing out here, Matt? Get in on dispatch, for Christ's sake."
"The radio's foobar, boss. Static."
"Well, maybe it's getting better. Because this is getting better." To Sandy, he sounded normal on top, like the sergeant. But underneath, that excitement still throbbed in his voice. And as Matt turned away, Tony added, "Not a word about this goes out over the air. You hear me? Not in the clear, anyway. Now or ever. If you have to talk about the Buick, it's code D. You understand?"
"Yes, sir,"
Matt said, and went up the back steps with his shoulders slumped, as if he had been spanked.